Current events 2011. You know, we started this year off right. The very first day was 1-1-1-1. That's twice judgment and twice disorder. So that kind of gives you a little preview, if you're not in God's path, what could happen to you this year. It's going to be one fantastic, exciting year. We must always do as God advises us. And unfortunately, sometime in this year, don't ask, don't tell will cease being, and everything will be just right out in the open, flaunted. I want you to open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 9. What happens to us as a nation can be hurtful, yet at the same time, for a Christian, even serving in the military, he can be blessed. It's how you communicate and how you love your father as to how you're blessed. But how wrong leadership can hurt a nation. Chapter 23, verse 9, the great book of Deuteronomy, and it reads, "When the host goeth forth against thine enemies," that's when you go to war, "then keep thee from every wicked thing." You keep it out of the camp. God will not tolerate it. Why? Verse 10, "If there be among you any man that is not clean by reason of uncleanliness, that chanceth him by night, then shall he go abroad out of the camp. He shall not come within the camp," period. Verse 11, "But it shall be, when evening cometh on, he shall wash himself with water, and when the sun is down, he shall come into the camp again, being cleansed, forgiven." 12, "Thou shalt have a place also outside the camp whither thou shalt go forth abroad." This is for hygiene purposes. 13, "And thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon, and it shall be, when thou shalt ease thyself abroad, thou shalt dig therewith, and shalt turn back and cover that which cometh from thee," protecting the troops from disease. Okay. If you've ever been in combat, and if you've ever been out in the field, you go by these regulations even to this day. 14, "For the Lord thy God walketh," this is the reason you've got to pay attention, "For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee, and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee." That's a comment, and it is a straight command from Almighty God. You don't do it my way, I'll leave you. You'll be on your own. And you know, poor Israel, even at Ai, remember what happened there? They went up to overcome the enemy. They forgot to take God with them, and they got thumped big time. God will not walk with you unless you follow his way. 15, "Thou shalt not deliver unto his master the servant which is escaped from his master unto thee. He shall dwell with thee, even among you, in that place which he shall choose in one of thy gates, where it liketh him best. Thou shalt not oppress him. Thou shalt be no whore or daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel." That's a male prostitute. You don't bring him into that camp. So you see what, in a few months. Verse 18, "Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore, nor the price of a dog, into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both these are an abomination unto the Lord God." The price of a dog has nothing to do with it. It's the fashion in which a male prostitute exercises his trade. God will empty your camp out. God will not bless you if you do not hold to his way. That is a direct order. It still holds to this day for health reasons and or otherwise. Well, what would God do about it? Well, what did he do to Sodom and Gomorrah? That's a good question. Our Father is the same today, He is tomorrow, He'll be forever. And He was that way yesterday, as we're going to find out in Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. Verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom and at Eve, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. He recognized the holiness of these two angelic beings. And he said, "Behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." Now, Lot knew what the danger was out there. This is Sodom. 3, and he pressed upon them greatly because of that danger. And they turned in unto him and entered into his house, that, and he made them a feast and did break unleavened bread, and they did eat. Do you know what these two angels are on their way to do? To destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? God will not tolerate it. Verse 4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young. All the people from every quarter, I mean, even the children are involved in this corruption. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." Now, these are angels of God. They don't know what they're asking for. 6, and Lot went out at the door unto them, and he shut the door after him, closed it behind him, trying to protect them, and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Hey, behold, now, I have two daughters." This I can't handle, but we'll cover it. "I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore come they under the shadow of my roof." That was law. Verse 9, and they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow," speaking of Lot, "came in to sojourn. He's a stranger among us. And he will needs be a judge of us. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness. They put such a bright light forth that they couldn't see any longer. Always stand behind the light, and that light is Christ. Both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, "Hast thou here any besides son-in-laws?" And so it is that they went on and they described to him. And so it was that they freed Lot, let him even go to Zoar, which is in the Hebrew tongue means little, a little town. And then they destroyed this place. God doesn't mess around. And we're in that generation where these things count. Many might say, "Well, brother, that's kind of old stuff." Oh, is it? Why do you think hundreds of thousands of secrets was released of our intelligence released to the press, or not even the press, to something less? Why do you think that happened? Because an individual that swore an oath to protect the Constitution of this nation and you, because his boyfriend did him wrong, he released all these secrets against our nation, he turned traitor. Don't let something unclean in your camp or it will happen over and over and over. It has already happened. Many brave people will die because of that, because they have helped us risk their lives giving information. And now because of a strange one upset at his boyfriend, released gallant men's information, and they will pay. But never worry, God is still on the throne, and we get what we deserve. Don't ask, don't tell does not go into effect until another probably few months. Get ready. Stand by. There will be more, and more will come of this later. Our Father always keeps His word. You want to be sure you keep yours, because we live in perilous times. Now, let's go to, if we may, the book of Daniel. Let's know that in this year, you're going to have taxes messed with. As a matter of fact, in two more days, the EPA will bring out something that the Congress overrode. That's carbon tax. It'll be by a different name, but that's still the same. It is one of the largest tax increases this nation will have ever known. And that's just the beginning. They will try also later to... You're going to find out why czars were appointed. It's coming to pass, my friend. But the people have spoken in November. And it will be an interesting conflict, spiritually, and also as well judicially, and for the good American people. You want to always pray for your government. But what is it that we should be concerned about for taxes? Because that also is upon us. And we read in the 11th chapter of the great book of Daniel in verse 20 that just before the false Christ comes, what happens? That we'll pick it up with verse 19. Then he shall turn his face toward the fort of his own land, and he shall stumble and fall. That's the one prior. Now the tax raiser. 20. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. It's for the people, you understand? But within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. What follows that? What I do, I want you to see the time sequence here. What happens right after that? And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peacefully and obtain the kingdom by flatteries, meaning the Antichrist. And so we're at that door. Now, God never leaves us wanting. He always gives us a type in the Old Testament of how it shall be in the end. That's why it's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. These things, these examples happen so by whereby you would know what will befall you at the end. So we're going to go to the tax raiser of tax raisers. We're going to check it out, because we know that sequence, and we need to know what type did Christ and our Father give us to let us know, or at least give us a clue. 2 Kings. We go to 2 Kings chapter 23. Pick it up with verse 35. We're going to be talking about Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim in the Hebrew tongue means whom Yah has set up. I want you to latch on to that. It's who God put there. For what? For a purpose. Verse 35 of that chapter 23. And it reads, "And Jehoiakim gave the silver and the gold to Pharaoh, but he taxed the land to give the money according to the commandment of Pharaoh. He extracted the silver and the gold of the people of the land, of everyone according to his taxation, to give unto Pharaoh Ethiopia." And so it is that that tax was heavy. Even for that time, it was heavy. It was monstrous. This is one of the only cases of a type set forth for you, so absorb it. Jehoiakim, one placed there by God, was 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Zebudah, the daughter of Pedaiah and of Rumah, which is the height, the mountain, 37. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his fathers had done. He practiced those abominations that God will have nothing to do with. Now here comes the part we want to absorb. Chapter 24, verse 1. "In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up." Now, what does that mean to you? Well, it's the king of Babylon in the book of Revelation that has to do with us. Though the king of Babylon of this time was Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon of our time is none other than Satan himself. But here is your type, if you would. Observe it, read it, and learn. "Nebuchadnezzar came up, and Jehoiakim, one placed there by God, became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him." 3 years is going to be all over for him. "And the Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldees, bands of the Syrians, and bands of Moabites, and bands of children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servants the prophets." Now, these countries which we have read are today Islamic nations. We're taxed there, all right? Every time you fill your car up, you paid the boys. Big time. And every time we have gone to war against this people's taxation comes heavy, and that tax is paid by battles, by fighting, by equipment. So that taxation is hidden many times unless you open your eyes to it. We're taxed pretty good, and so it is. Verse 3 to continue. "Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah to remove them out of his sight for the sons of Manasseh, according to all that he did." God won't have anything to do with our people if they commit abominations. It puts us in a bad shape, my friends. "And also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon." He won't overlook it. "Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim, one placed there by God, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the king of Judah?" 2 Chronicles 36 will help you on that. "So Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiakim, his son, reigned in his stead." That is about the only place that you will have an example of taxation, and so it is with these people. "3 years under the king of Babylon." That should be an interesting date for you, an interesting time. And if we were not careful, we could upset many parents who have young people in the military. It does not apply to those that do what is right, to those that love the Lord. The Lord always delivers his own. So we've heard the bad news, And the time has fallen that we're going to see more and more of traitorism and treason on maybe hopefully a little lighter scale, but it will continue until things are straightened out. God will not pardon abomination, especially in the people he chose that are supposed to fulfill the witness in the end times against the false Messiah. Not going to happen. So keep your eyes open and know and understand. But at the same time, never fret. Because our Father is on the throne. And when you pray to him and when you love him, he's going to bless you. This chapel is a prime example of that. When many people are in dire straits, he has given us a platform that is shocking as how much it would take to keep that thing going. But it doesn't shock him, and he keeps it going without us having to beg or anything else. Why? He blesses us. Therefore, these times are upon us. It is bad for some, but now the good news, the fact that he is still on the throne. Open your Bibles to Psalms 37. Psalms 37 is to those troops that love him, to those people, civilians that follow him, to all God's children that listen to him. It's a comfort and crying out in the night to those that need assurance. This is known in the to a scholar as an acrostical Psalms. In other words, there is a hidden message within it. You've heard me teach it probably many times. There are three verses that stand out because of the arrangement of lines in the psalm. But it is the message that I want to grasp today, for it is a message for right now. It is a message to God's children that love him. Psalms 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Don't you think they're getting ahead? Verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. It's coming. 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. God will always take care of his own. I don't care if you're a trooper. I don't care if you're a civilian. If you're following the Lord, you will be fed. Fed with what? Truth, understanding, guidance, knowledge. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. He will. 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You can count on it. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Now, verse 7 is part of the acrostic. In other words, the question is, why does it always seem like the wicked get ahead? Well, he's going to answer that. Verse 7, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man, Ish, who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Don't fret yourself about it. God's keeping score. He's got the book of life. It's open, and it is added to every day. But that 7th verse is the first verse of the acrostic, okay? I'll call them off as we go past them. 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, but always fret yourself if necessary to do what is right. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. That's written, and it is so. For yet a little while, be patient, a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. It's coming, dear one, and it's well worth waiting for, looking forward to. But the meek, that's the humble, shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace, that everlasting peace. The wicked plotteth against the just over and over, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. They'll always bite at you. They'll always pick at you. Don't worry about it. 13, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. He's got the scorecard. He knows when it's coming to pass. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. They do it the right way. What way is that? Christ's way. He is the way. 15, their sword shall enter into their own heart. They destroy themselves. And their bow shall be broken. God takes care of it. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Why? Well, they're not going to keep it. It's going to be ripped from them. It's ill-gotten gains. 17, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. You're going to see many bad things happen in this world, but I want you to remember this psalm as we march toward that little time to on to that day. This is God's advice to you. You can count on it. He said it. He meant it. It is written. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Not some Johnny come lately. Forever. 19, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Even when the Antichrist is on the throne and you're delivered before them, you'll be fed by the Holy Spirit, giving unction and voice to what must be done even at that time. Now comes the 20th verse, and it is the second verse in the acrostic following verse 7. So when you're reading that acrostic, always read verse 7, then verse 20, and then verse 34 for your own information. Verse 20 reads, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs that shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. In other words, if you can picture a lamb on a spit turning over an open fire, as the fat drops into the fire, there goes the smoke. They're gone. It's over for them. That's the wicked. So don't ever let them bug you. Don't ever let them get to you. Theirs is coming big time. And God always looks over with peace his elect. Verse 21, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. 22, for such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. It's that simple. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. God will instruct you, he will lead you, he will guide you if you're serving him. 24, though he fall, you might trip a little every once in a while, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You can't miss that way. The enemy may really shoot at you real good. They may spread information on you that's bad. But God will be there to hold you up and give you strength to overcome the abomination, to overcome the wickedness of this world. Our Father always upholds him. 25, I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteousness forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I've never seen anyone that truly follows him going hungry. Why? Well, he always feeds them both with food and also with truth. He is ever merciful and leadeth, and his seed is blessed. The offspring are blessed. The children are blessed. You're living in a troubled world. that you're blessed by Almighty God. That's the good news. You don't have anything to sweat or worry about. Keep your eyes open and be ready. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. I mean, zoom. They're gone. Now, this is why it always pays to listen to your father. He warns us and he tells you how it will be if you don't listen. But then he always tells you how it will be when you do listen. 29, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. How long? Forever. 30, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. That's what this year 11 is about, my friend, is judgment as well as disorder. And always remember, though you see the judgment, it takes care of the disorder because it's God's judgment. We're not. We're not the judge. God is. And he will always take care of it. That's what this year is about. Disorder and judgment. 31, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. 32, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. They will plot against you at every turn, but you have someone above you that will always show you the way, that will always give you the right course. If you trust him, if you love him, he will always show you the way out. You don't even have to give it a second thought. He will never test you over what you can handle. And he'll always show you a way out. And I'm quoting 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Verse 33. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. 34, and here comes the final verse of the acrostic. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. In other words, verse 7 says, don't worry about those that seem to get ahead by being crooked. That they're going to be over a spit, roasting like a lamb over a fire with the fat going up forever. And because of your righteousness, you're going to be there to witness it. You're going to get to see it. That's what the hidden acrostic is in the psalm. Now to continue, 35. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Oh, it just seems like they flourish. 36, yet he passeth away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Now, that's as it is, my friend. Abomination shall be brought upon us. But God is keeping score. He will not tolerate it. He will always protect your young sons and daughters that are in harm's way. So I don't want you to be anxious for them. Remember this psalm. And then add Psalms 144 to it. We're not going there today, but just teach me how to war against that enemy. And so it is that our Father always keeps his own. But it will seem like they just flourish and grow all over the place. But listen carefully, 36, one more. Yet he passeth away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but could not be found. 37, mark the perfect man, that's mature, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. 38, listen to this, don't ever forget it. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. Those that receive the mark of the beast, those that want to follow the false one, be destroyed together, and the end of the wicked shall be cut off. Zip. 39, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Don't you ever forget that. Anytime you feel discouraged, remember this very verse. He is your strength. That's even what the word Ezekiel means. God is our, El is our strength. God is our strength. Turn to Him when it seems dark and when it seems that the enemy is pushing ahead. Don't worry about it. God's keeping score. Verse 40 to complete. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. You see, it pays great dividends to trust in Him. He will always deliver you. He is the God of salvation. So yes, there's bad news. We see many of the people fall short, taking vows and then turning traitor, harming other people, but may God always look over them when they cry out to our Father for guidance. He will lead them. He will direct them. He will protect them. God will never leave them, nor will He forsake them as long as they hang on to Him. So, yes, there's good news, and yes, there's bad news. There's bad news for those that have not been taught, that do not know our Father, and are cut loose in this world in such troubled times, with abomination on top of abomination. It will not fly, it will not last. But of all times, in this year, 1-1-11, judgment from our Heavenly Father and disorder. You're going to see that disorder. You're going to see many things tried in power rest from this hand to that if we're not careful. But I think that people have spoken, and I think that the cushion is there. And we must pray that that cushion remains. If you don't understand what I'm saying, read between the lines. God is still on the throne, and we have the victory. You can always encourage our young people because they serve Him, and He never lets them down. They may stumble a little, but when He reaches down and picks them up, He stands them upright gallantly in His service to continue on, to destroy that abomination, and to put things right in this nation. Heavenly Father, thank You, Father. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for being with us. Thank You for being with our troops. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
You very well.